Welcome to SEC Sports Roundtable, Episode 60, A Win is a Win in Death Valley, recorded Wednesday, November 7th, 2012. What would SEC Sports Roundtable be without a battle in the West? Shane Bailey and Drew Young talk about Alabama's last-minute comeback victory against LSU at Death Valley. Vanderbilt and Ole Miss playing to be bowl eligible. Can one of them end up on the outside looking in? Coaching firings and rumors. Can Dooley salvage a season and his job? UK hoops and another exciting basketball season in Lexington. All this and more on this week's SEC SRT. And welcome to SEC Sports Roundtable. This is your host, Shane Bailey. Got on the other side of the monitor, Drew Young. Welcome, Drew.
What's going on, Shane?
I'm just happy to get another podcast in this week. For those who are new to SEC SRT, we do a podcast. I would say it's a quick podcast, wouldn't you, Drew?
Well, it depends on what your definition of quick is.
If you take your whole lifespan, you know, an hour and a half is quick.
Yeah.
So in that instance, you know, it's a quick podcast that we do almost every week. We've missed very few weeks here in our 61 episodes. This is hard to believe we've gone that long, but 61st episode being recorded here tonight as we speak. But we take a look at the SEC, at the week that's happened, the week that's going to happen, any news that's come across the wire that we think worth talking about, and just kind of give you opinions on the SEC from a fan's perspective. As you can see, for those watching on YouTube or through Facebook or the website, SECSRT, Drew Young holds no bars about his love for Tennessee. He's wearing the orange on the screen in the lower third. I'm staying impartial right now. Basketball season's 48 hours away or so from recording, so that might change next week. But it's a sad day to be a Kentucky fan. We're a lame duck coach going on right now down in the Big Blue Nation. So just going football this week down in my lower third. But that's a little bit about who we are. We do this podcast, like I said, every week, and it can be found on iTunes. Drew, I don't know if it's just, you know, my search is so attuned to me looking at things, but the other day I did a search on iTunes in the iTunes store for SEC Sports, and you look at the podcasts, and our podcast was the number one podcast.
I know we've always been kind of in that first page. I mean, that was kind of our goal, but you know, we've been doing this for a year and a half, I guess, now. And there's not a lot of people out there. So if you stumble across this podcast, there aren't many people doing a holistic view of the SEC where they talk about every team. And we're one of the only ones, so we're glad to have people listening to us.
Yeah, no, I hats off to you fans that are listening in. Even if you're listening, if we're part of the podcast, we appreciate you subscribing and finding us. So, we have lots of ways to find us. Stitcher Radio, iTunes, website, Yahoo. Probably on Yahoo. YouTube.
Search it, I guess.
Yeah, and on Facebook. So lots of ways to find it, and that's about all we're going to cover as far as that housekeeping issues, just about how you can get a hold of us. But I wanted to throw those things out there. I thought that was some neat information. Just I was surprised, you know, that I knew we'd been hovering up there for a long time in the top, 10 or so. But, I had not checked it in a while. And to be the number one podcast there, I was pretty excited about that. So a testament to you guys listening in. So thank you guys. I'll just kick it off and say, what did you like about last week?
Good grief. You know, I mean, I guess what I like the most, I think there are a few highlights. I'll do some positives, some negatives. The big positive was that LSU-Alabama game. It was an unbelievable game again. It did not disappoint. I was incredibly proud of the way that LSU played. I didn't think they would stand much of a chance in this game. That just goes to show you that you just never count out LSU at home. Especially in a night game, because they really played well and were really close to pulling an upset. I know that Les Miles is getting a lot of flack, and they're talking about it a lot because he did some unconventional things going for it on fourth down early in the game on the wrong side of the field. But, you know, I think that's what he kind of had to do. He kind of had to say, look, I'm going to be the Mad Hatter of old, and we're going to try to win. And I think that's what the team looked at. That's how they decided to play the game, and that's why they made it a game. And then A.J. McCarron led a drive to win the game at the end. They had a chance to win, and they had a wonderful play to that screen pass to Yeldon, and they won the game. So congratulations to Alabama for getting through their biggest challenge. But LSU, I thought, played a great game, and that's why we love the SEC, is because there's not a better game out there. I mean, yeah, there was a lot of good stuff this weekend with, like, Notre Dame and Pittsburgh and some other games going right down to the wire, but it's better because not only did the Alabama-LSU game go down to the wire, it went down to the wire and it was a close game and well-played game by both teams, as opposed to, you know, one team making mistakes. So I thought that was probably the highlight of the weekend.
Yeah, no, I mean, you look at the numbers. I think the numbers weren't quite as high as last year's build-up, but I think ESPN, you had number one, number two, and ESPN, the machine that they are, as far as the PR and promotion, were just all over that game last year. But, you know, almost, I wouldn't say 11 million, but well over 10 million eyeballs were said to have watched that ball game. And the interesting stat that I saw or heard, I don't even remember who I was listening to, but at that time there were three other programs that were showing sports. NBC had the Breeders' Cup. Fox had USC, Oregon, and ABC had, was that Kansas State?
Yeah, Kansas State and Oklahoma State.
So there were four games, four sports programs going on all major networks. And if you combine the other three networks, ABC, Fox, and NBC's programs, they still do not equal the number of eyeballs on that one game.
Yeah. And here's what's crazy is you look at this game and LSU, if you look at some of the stats, look inside of it, LSU was 10 for 20 on third down, where Alabama was 1 for 9. LSU, Zach Mettenberger threw for right at 300 yards. LSU had a Hill rush for a little over 100 yards. Time of possession, LSU had the ball for 40 minutes. Alabama had the ball for 20 minutes. Turnovers. Alabama had two turnovers. LSU didn't turn the ball over. So it's one of those things where, I mean, you look at the stats and you think Alabama was probably lucky to get out of there with a win, but that's what Alabama does. They win football games, and this is just another great one. I guess the one thing that, you know, LSU did have some penalties, and they went for it on fourth down a couple times and didn't quite get it. So I guess when they are saying that maybe the Mad Hatter went a little mad and maybe should have played it a little closer to the vest. But I don't know. I like the way that they went out and played and they said, we're putting it on the line. It just didn't work out for him.
You know, I don't think he – I would have done the same thing in his situation probably in probably almost all of those scenarios, except for maybe the fourth down fake punt.
Yeah.
You know, that one was a little suspect because – I mean, if you look at the way Alabama was defending the punt, they weren't expecting a punt. And if they were, they were willing to, you know, accept what they were given on that situation. But they were expecting something from Les Miles in that situation. And in that one scenario, that's the only one I would say that, you know, you probably wanted to see the punter at least pooch it, because there was no chance. Because they were, what, 4th and 11 or something?
Yeah, and then throw a pass that doesn't, you know, cross the line of scrimmage, really. So
that one's the only one that, you know, I personally would have any issues with. The only thing I would say is that some of the play calls he called, the particular setup that he ran, to me wasn't what you wanted to see.
Yeah.
In those scenarios, not that the scenario wasn't correct, that he should have went for it or should not have went for something. It was the play call that was actually called. And if you listen to some of the stuff today, he was on the College Sports on XM, you know, and he was, you know, you could really hear it in his voice. He was putting a lot of blame on himself for that loss, for some of the play calls that he had made, and if anything, that's the only thing that I think could have cost him the game, is if he would have selected a couple of different, you know, gadget plays as opposed to more in a regular scenario type plays that he ended up running. I would like to see some gadget type stuff in those fourth down situations. But other than that, I mean, it was a great game. And the other thing that I think is getting lost in this is Mettenberger. All year long, everybody's been blasting him how he's not been able to perform. But you get him on that stage, and he had an extra week to prepare. But, man, he looked pretty good. I mean,
yeah, his best game against, probably the best defense in the country. So that's very impressive. That bodes well for him. I mean, he's got another couple years at LSU. So maybe he's the answer, and maybe they're going to be really good. So,
yeah. And we'll see. What does that give you any – indication, and I also don't agree with the fact that there's a chink in Alabama's armor. I mean, you look at LSU, I believe, were they not the number one ranked program or number two ranked program coming into the season?
Yeah, I mean, everybody thought that LSU was going to have a good year. I don't think that, I mean, a win is a win in Death Valley. A win is a win against LSU, and I'm just not going to take anything negative away from that, knowing Alabama doesn't really have much left until the SEC championship game, which is going to be another challenge. But
I wouldn't say that. I think next week's a big challenge. A&M could, or this Saturday, I should say, not next week.
You're right. I mean, it's just tough. I've gotten to the point now where I just don't expect Alabama to lose, because that does lead us into the other big news for the week, is I thought Texas A&M just throttled Mississippi State. And Texas A&M is a very good team. So you're right. I mean, it would be easy for Alabama to kind of sleep on them. I fully expect Alabama to win the game, but this A&M team has really, really come to life.
Yeah, no, I mean, as an outsider, not being an Alabama fan, I couldn't see Saban letting those guys get down. And it's not like, I mean, if this was the Iron Bowl next week, that's a whole other scenario, because those guys are not going to get up for the Iron Bowl. Let's just face it, because Auburn's that bad.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the folks in Alabama know how good Manziel and A&M has turned out to be. I mean, they just played Mississippi State the week before, so they knew what Mississippi State had to offer. So they saw what A&M was able to do to Mississippi State. They saw how A&M played against LSU. They just played LSU. So they understand this program, and it's not a program they can take lightly, I don't think. So I don't see them getting down for it, but – you know, you also see that there's going to have to be just a natural emotional letdown after such a performance there in Death Valley, to come off and basically steal a win. I mean, because a minute and a half left and march down the field, they hadn't been able to march down the field like that at all year, all night long, and then all of a sudden to do that, you know, that's got to draw on your emotions. Look at McCarron at the end of the game. I mean, he's sitting there bawling his eyes out. I mean, he had so much emotion.
Yeah,
in that game, that, you know, you can't say they're not going to be somewhat emotionally spent coming in to play Alabama or A&M. It is going to be at home for Alabama, so that's a big, big bonus for them. And I'm like you, I think they'll win. But that's a test. If there was another team that could sneak up on them, I mean, that's it. After that, you're right. It's a cakewalk. I forgot who it is. It's definitely a cupcake. And next week. And then it's Auburn, the Iron Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I think that it's – you got to give credit to Texas A&M. I mean, they played really well against Mississippi State. It's not a game that I saw a ton of the game, but just looking at the stats and that, you know, Johnny Manziel to come in and have to fill the shoes of a Tannehill and get in there and really make it his team this quick. I mean, he's talked about for the Heisman. I mean, that's a freshman quarterback that we're talking about for the Heisman Trophy. And he's really putting up the stats and playing well. So I think they'll give them everything they've got. I think if there's any team that can go out there and avoid a letdown, it's this Alabama team. I mean, their coaches, you know, you've got a three-time national champion in Saban. The guy can coach football and he can get his team prepared. So I think it's going to be a dogfight, but I would say that Texas A&M, you know, they're going to get every bit of Alabama, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can't say that A&M is going to win that game. I don't think I'd give them a chance. But, you know, I wouldn't say that this is necessarily a cupcake either, though.
Sure.
And that's where I was going with it. You know, the rest of the matchups, I mean, this week there's not a whole lot out there to me. you know, Mississippi State and LSU, but, you know, I've been so disappointed in State over the last couple of weeks, and I know that Blair's, you know, talked them up so much. Maybe I caught the Caldwell disease that I had with Vanderbilt and was buying into it too much, but, you know.
Well, I mean, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, last time I was on, and I'm telling you, Mississippi State had not played anybody. I think Tennessee was one of their tougher opponents, and hell, everybody's beaten Tennessee, so I think that Mississippi State just ran into the hard part of their schedule, and I think they're a good football team. They're a, you know, a top 20 football team, but they're not a top 10 football team. And when you have to play Texas A&M and you have to play Alabama, you have to play LSU, that's probably going to be loss right in a row. And they haven't looked good in either one of those games either. So I would say that Mississippi State is happy to be 7-2, and I fully expect, you know, LSU to take care of business. But you never know which LSU you're going to see. You might see the LSU that played Auburn and struggle with an Auburn team that's down this year. So
you're right there. I mean, if you have that LSU, then Mississippi State has a chance. But
and LSU might be, you know, look at that. They've lost their second game now, and they lost a heartbreaker. This might be a kind of a game where they're let down, and Mississippi State could come in there and steal a win. But once again, this game is at LSU, and it's a night game. So, you know, give the advantage to the home team. And I think LSU will bounce back, but I would not be surprised if it's a close game.
Yeah. And then the other matchups, do you want to talk about your boys up here in Knoxville?
I think it's a big game. I think it's a big game for Tennessee. I think it's a big game for Derek Dooley. I mean, you look back at the game they played this week, and I mean, God, talk about a tale of two different, you know, as a Tennessee fan, I'm excited about the offense. I mean, this is an incredible offense. Tyler Bray broke, Peyton Manning's school passing record, and I don't care, you know, what team you're playing. Tennessee, you know, these college teams play a patsy pretty much every year, and Troy's not, you know, the worst team out there. They're a team that consistently makes bowl games, and they've had a fairly good team. Their defense wasn't prepared for Tennessee, and Tyler Bray threw for 530 yards, somewhere around that. But talk about their defense. That's just, I mean, that game, it was so frustrating to watch because Troy could not stop Tennessee on offense, and Tennessee couldn't stop Troy on defense. So, I mean, it was kind of one of those things where it was back and forth, and I'm glad Tennessee was able to pull the victory out. But I do think this is a big game against Missouri, and it's a game that Derek Dooley has to win. If he doesn't, I think he's done.
Well, yeah, I mean, because you're setting it 4 wins, is that right?
Yeah, 4-5 right now.
And so you've got this game, Vanderbilt and Kentucky.
Correct. And to win 2 of them to be bowl eligible, and you probably need 3 of them to keep your coach.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you are there, because unlike Kentucky, and that's the news from the week, and I think we hit on it, you know, they've got the lame duck coach. Joker Phillips is no longer going to be the coach after the end of this season, after an awful performance against the Vanderbilt program. You wanted to see something out of Kentucky at that point. To as a Kentucky fan, you want to see that, and it just wasn't there. I don't see them having any fight left in them. I could be wrong. I hope they rally around Joker now and try to get a couple wins for the program to end up with some sort of high note. It's a program that's been riddled with injury all year long. I think 33 freshmen have started. It's a ridiculously high number for a program like that in the SEC to have to dress that many freshmen to play. And they've got them next week, is that right? Or no, you've got Vanderbilt next week and
yeah,
the week
Vanderbilt
after.
Next. Yeah, that game was, you know, I watched a lot of that game, and God, that's two things. One, that's a bad loss, you know, for, you know, Kentucky to lose at home 40-0, getting shut out by Vanderbilt and, you know, letting up 40 points. Now, I think Vanderbilt is a better team than Kentucky. I think it's a different class. I think Vanderbilt's got a pretty good football team, and
They're not 40 points better.
I would say that there should only be a handful of teams that are 40 points better than Kentucky. I mean, in the SEC, you shouldn't be giving up, you know, losing by 40 to many teams, especially a Vanderbilt. So, I mean, that was a game that I think Kentucky got down, and they just kind of they gave up on their. And I don't know, maybe they've given up on their coach, and you're right, maybe they kind of rally around it and say, hey, we're not as bad as this, and maybe they can kind of make these last couple games.
I mean, you're looking at a Kentucky program that's 2 weeks removed to giving Georgia everything they needed.
Yeah.
And you're talking, and now you're hearing Georgia talk about, you know, playing for the national championship. if they can beat Alabama, they're that good. And it was just 2 weeks ago that Kentucky played them up into the midway through the third, almost fourth quarter, and they only lost by 4 points. So, you know, you just don't understand what kind of Kentucky program you have up there. They've got to be better than what you're seeing on the field right now, but yeah, I don't know. I'm frustrated at that.
Shane, I think you got a young team. A young team, the good is that they you know, they can keep themselves in games and they think, hey, we can beat this Georgia team. And then you've also got a team, a young team, they get behind against Vanderbilt and they go, well, everything's going wrong. So, and they kind of lay down. So I think it's just a young team that the good of that is you never know when they're going to surprise you. The bad is they can surprise you the bad way too. And lucky for Kentucky, they're off next week and maybe they can spend some time trying to figure out what they're going to do. And I don't know. I mean, now it's fun time for you, Shane. You get to start speculating on who your coach is going to be.
And I kind of like the rumor the offensive coordinator down at A&M. Was it Kingsley?
Yeah, I've heard that. You know, you hear the Western coach, Taggart. And
you hear him for Arkansas a lot, too.
Yeah, you hear him there, too. And then you hear Petrino. You know, I don't think he's going to go anywhere. And you hear Tupperville's name thrown out. I mean, there's just all kinds of names that are thrown out, and you just don't really know. And then think about if Tennessee's job opens, and you're going to have a third SEC opening.
Let's just face it, there's a fourth. There's going to be four. Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Auburn.
Oh, yeah, Auburn. Auburn's a good shot at that one being open, too. That's four programs. And the tough thing is you've got a Kentucky football program that, man, you would think that they would have to go like a coordinator route. If you've got three other SEC openings, they're not going to get the cream of the crop there, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, and, I mean, you know, it's worked before. I mean, somebody, again, I hate to keep stealing stuff, but they brought up such good points. It's true. I mean, you look at some of the offensive coordinators that have done well over the last few years, and you get put into positions like that and run a crazy offense like that, it just might be able to happen. And that might be what Kentucky needs, is some sort of excitement like that. I mean, Franklin was an assistant, was he not?
Yeah, he was.
So, you know, Lane Kiffin, when he got his shot, he was still an assistant. So, I mean, those kind of people are still out there. It's just finding that right person that can bring that kind of excitement to Kentucky. But, I mean, you look at Auburn. When's the last time that Auburn has went 0-8 in the SEC? Because, I mean, they've got Georgia this week and then –
Alabama.
Yeah, Alabama, and do they have somebody else in between there?
Eight SEC games.
Alabama A&M's their other opponent, sandwiched between that.
Staring at a 3-9 season. Yeah, that's going to be trouble.
I mean,
talk about what have you done for me lately. You're going to have a guy that won the national championship 2 years ago or 3 years ago after this season, and then going to get let go.
Yeah, I mean, but it just goes to show that you have to put up wins, and as a Kentucky fan, I can take a little solace in that fact to know that, you know, Auburn had 3 years removed from the national championships, losing their coach too, and I personally think a lot higher of Joker Phillips than I do of Chizik down there. So
yeah,
at least there's no rumors of Kentucky's buying championships in football.
You wish they would have. They buy championships in basketball. They might as well buy them in football too.
I knew you were gonna go there.
Hey, you set it up.
I did. I was going to see if you're going to try to knock that one out of the park or not.
Yeah. That's what we need to be talking about. Is I'm sure you're excited. I'm excited, too. I watched I caught a little bit of the Tennessee exhibition game against Victory, and I hate those exhibition games because you just don't know. Like, the reports out of Knoxville were that Tennessee had played, like, done, like, a scrimmage against Georgia Tech and looked really good, and there are all these good reports, and then they play Victory, and of course, I can't be upset by a 40-point win over any team, but they just kind of look sluggish in that first half and not very organized and just kind of playing. But that, then again, you know, the big players, Jarnell Stokes, and I mean, he's not getting the – I think he played like 11 minutes. So it's one of those things where I'm excited. Basketball season's coming, and I know for a fact that you are. So
yeah, I mean, we are literally 48 hours or so from the time we're recording, because Friday's the day. And Kentucky starts off with a pretty big matchup, because they start off with Maryland. And Maryland, I mean, they're not the Maryland of old, but they're a much improved program.
Well, that's better than – yeah, I'm not sure. I'll have to look it up. Tennessee plays somebody, but I think it's like a Carson Newman Tech or something like that. So
I've got it all pulled up right here. Give me 1 second. Kennesaw State.
Kennesaw State, that's pretty good, right?
Yeah, that's top notch right there.
Yeah.
That's all. And there's, I guess, is this the is there an ACC SEC thing with football again or basketball?
You know what, Shane? I can't even speak to that. I just don't even remember. But
no, I misspoke because I'm just looking. Georgetown's not even ACC. They're
no, Big they're East. Big East. They and do a Big East SEC. I think they're doing that again this year.
And see, Georgia or Florida plays Georgetown Friday as well.
That's a good opening game. Although I think Florida will be able to handle them.
So I mean, there's a couple of decent basketball games to kick off the basketball season.
Yep.
Right off the bat, so that's gonna definitely give us some more stuff to talk about that I'll be happier to talk about, at least the program I love. So glad to see those things are coming right down the pipe.
Yeah, we're almost there. Yeah, Kentucky opening with Maryland. I don't care who you are. That's a big game to start with. What else do we have? I wonder what else we've got a Syracuse, San Diego State. Well, I actually got postponed because of Sandy, it looks like. Just looking at some of the big matchups. A lot of teams in action. Yeah, this week it starts off college basketball. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, all I've got is the SEC pulled up. Don't see anybody else really having a big matchup that weekend. Let me ask your thoughts on the carrier games. You think would you like to see an SEC program take part in that?
Say it one more time. I didn't even catch what you said.
The carrier games, you know how they're putting a basketball game on
the aircraft
carrier?
What did they play? That was North Carolina and Michigan State last year.
Yeah, and this year it's who is it? Notre Dame women are playing, and then Xavier is playing somebody.
Why don't we let's go play a game on the moon or something like that? Forget that. We're the SEC, man. We don't just copycat. We set our own trends. No, well, I would love it. Sure, I would take it. I mean, I think that's fun. I'm sure it's exciting for the troops and whoever get to go watch that game and whoever gets to watch it out there, and for the players to get to play. It's hard for me to just picture that game. All I can imagine is somebody throwing a pass that kind of goes out of bounds and then just goes off the ship, or somebody dies for a ball and goes off ship, and I'm sure they play it kind of in the middle of it. So
yeah, and those things are so big it could bounce for days and still not.
It's still not. Yeah, I would take it. I mean, yeah, anything that's different will be fun. I mean, I can't believe those things happen and Kentucky's not playing in them. It seems like that's kind of right up their alley of getting to play in a game like that.
Well, we are on ESPN every week, so.
Yeah.
You know what I think where I could see Cal taking it to the next level is, hey, let's just do this over in off the shores of Afghanistan or something.
Yeah.
You know, where it's really for the troops, because most of these, I mean, there are some troops there, but, you know, the Michigan State game, you know, it was, I mean, you're dry docked right there on U.S. soil, basically. So, you know, you're not really going anywhere. Fly those guys out there and do it right there, smack dab in the middle of everything. You could see Cal making that kind of PR move, and that's maybe what he's holding out for. Hey,
well, what I heard that they were that Kentucky was going to go and they were going to play just like a half court game on a PT boat. You know, while they were fighting. That's what Cal wants to do, get some publicity. So I think they're going to play just good. It's only one side, so it's going to be kind of like a. You know, you got to take it back past the 3-point line.
And that PT boat, is it going to be like the ones that you have down in the Louisiana area, those big wind boats?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you get a bad pass, you just blow it off the side there.
Yeah. No, I don't know. We kind of jumped the gun talking about basketball. But yeah, I'm excited about that, and I'd be up for anything like that, any kind of fun. Set yourself apart, get publicity for your team. That's something Bruce Pearl did for Tennessee. You know, anything that he could do to promote the program, and Cal does. Cal's great at it too. I mean, Cal can kind of let their championship speak. I mean, they don't have to thump their chest as much, but I like that. I like that in a coach. I mean, it's hard for me to, like, I can't get on James Franklin for doing these things because I like a coach with confidence, and I like a coach that steps out there. And it's hard, you know, as much as I hope that Kentucky loses every game in basketball because they're winners and I'm just tired of them winning, you got to respect the way Calipari does it and can get himself and get his team on ESPN and get the recognition for the program that he does.
Let me ask you. You mentioned something that popped into my head about Franklin. Have you seen the new ads for the basketball program for Vanderbilt?
I can't say that I have.
It's that same music and theme that they did with Franklin. Was it a whole new way of thinking or something like that? You know what I'm talking about?
Somebody was talking about this at a tailgate we were at for the Titans game this last week.
It's like, why would you use that when you have no players left? Of course it's going to be a whole new way to look at things because you got a whole new team.
I'm worried about Vanderbilt basketball this year. I think it's going to be down quite a bit.
Yeah, quite a bit's an understatement, I think.
Like the Parker kid, and they've got, the Kedron Johnson. But I mean, when you're a Vanderbilt and you lose three players to the NBA, that's a pretty big loss and Taylor, Jenkins and Azealy. So these are all three guys that made NBA rosters too. I mean, not just guys that got drafted or left and are playing overseas. These are three NBA guys that made the roster. So that's tough to replace.
I don't disagree. I'm curious to see what kind of program Vanderbilt's able to roll out this year. So that is going to be interesting. Let's take this back around to football for a few more minutes before we close this thing up. And I got us off on tangents by going to Kentucky football, which led to Kentucky basketball, and then basketball in general. But let me bring that back around because what I also wanted to see was what do you think your thoughts are or your chances are this week? Because Missouri's a different program now that you're seeing Franklin back.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Tennessee's going to struggle with James Franklin. But here's the deal: is Tennessee's going to struggle with anybody? They struggle with Troy's offense, and they're going to struggle with Vanderbilt being able to score them. Vanderbilt's going to score 30, 40 points on them. Everybody scored 40. I think the big news out of Knoxville right now is Dooley said that Sowell is going to kind of take a little bit of a back seat. He kind of said, he wants to be more involved, and Sunseri's going to be up in the booth, and Conklin, the defensive backs coach, is probably going to be more involved calling the plays. So
I just had a flashback of Sal Smith for Kentucky.
Saul Smith.
Sal Smith. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's like, wait a minute. Of course, my head's still on basketball
Everything
there.
goes back to Kentucky
I went
basketball.
down, yes, I was daydreaming about basketball, and I just heard Sal. It's like, wait a minute, Kentucky basketball. What?
Tell me if you heard this. This is the big stuff. I mean, it's got Tennessee fans in up in roars over here. Sunseri said that he's like, yeah, I'm definitely upset about our defense, but not as upset about that Pittsburgh loss to Notre Dame. And his son's the quarterback for Pittsburgh. Would that make you mad? Your defense gives up 48 points to Troy, and they're playing as bad as they are, and you got your defensive coordinator saying he's more upset over some other team's football game.
I mean, blood's thicker than water.
Well,
Hey.
not in the SEC, it's not.
But it is. I mean, when it boils down to it, that's his son.
Well, son, he's also got a son that plays for Alabama.
And that son lit him up, did he not?
Yeah, I mean, everybody has. So, I mean, I just think that you need to watch what you're saying when you're on the hot seat anyway. You don't need to. I mean, I'm not saying you can't think that. And he might have, while Tennessee was playing Alabama, he might have hoped his son had, a great game. But just to say something like that when you've got Tennessee fans as mad as and crazy as Tennessee fans are, saying something like that it's not going to win you any fans. I can assure you that.
I mean, but at the end of the day, to him, what's it really matter? I mean, have you looked at their contracts? If Dooley goes and the staff goes, I mean, they've got just some sweet buyouts. I mean, he could sit there on the sidelines and say, it's like unemployment. Yeah, I'm looking for a job.
Well,
When.
I think that all these coaches, I mean, yes, Derek Dooley, if he gets fired this year, he gets paid $5 million, and I'm sure he's going to be happy with $5 million. But if Derek Dooley gets let go at Tennessee after 3 years, it's kind of the same with Joker Phillips. It's going to be difficult for him to get back on that track of getting another big-time job. And he's going to have to go back in the wings, and he's going to have to wait another, what, 5, 6, 7 years before he gets another opportunity. So I don't think by any means that these coaches want to get let go. Now, I'm sure it's fine.
The head coach maybe, but I mean, there's still assistants out there that are still going to, they could find an assistants program or be an assistant on another program somewhere and not skip a beat in a year or two. Probably not take much of a pay cut at all, if any, the way assistants are starting to get paid today in the coaching ranks. Now, you're right. Dooley, it's going to be, I mean, that's a big step back for him because he could go back and start coaching again, but he's going to go back to you know, a program like Middle Tennessee or Western Kentucky, where you're getting $1 million, $2 million dollars a year, and nothing like you're going to get in SEC type money. So yes, it's going to completely change his lifestyle and his chances to get to that top tier program again. But I don't think so with the assistants.
Well, if anybody, you know, if anybody hired Sunseri to run their defense the way after what his on the job training with Tennessee, then that's a pretty sad program. He's going to have to take a step back and go back to a positions coach. And I think these guys' egos, they're making a lot of money. I mean, right now Sal's making $700,000 to $800,000 a year anyway. So, yeah, I'm sure he's happy to get, you know, $1 million buyout or whatever he gets. But I don't think anybody wants to be fired. I mean, there's not many people that just are, you know, are looking for it. So
no, but I'm coming from the angle that you know you're going to be let go. There's nothing that's going to save your job except three more wins. And even then, there's still no guarantee. And I don't know if there's three more wins in Tennessee's bag of tricks.
I don't know. Tennessee's, I agree with you. Here's the bad thing is the other day, the last podcast, I think I made the mention that I still think Tennessee is a top 25 team. I'm going to take that back. I'm going to say I don't think they're a top 25 team. I think they're a bottom 25 team when it comes to defense, and I think they're a top 10 team when it comes to offense. That Tennessee offense is unbelievable, and I think that's the reason. Look how bad their defense is, and look at the fact that they were able to play with Florida and South Carolina and Georgia and Mississippi State. They were one drive away from beating all those teams, and it's 100% on that offense. All the questions that you had about the offense, is their offensive line going to be able to block? Are they going to find somebody that can run the ball? Is Bray going to be able to step up? Is Patterson going to be good? Is Hunter going to be good? Will they have that Zach Rogers step up? How about the tight end? Every answer has been Tennessee has done everything they need to do on offense to get the program back to where it needs to be. The problem is they've got the worst defense in my life as a Tennessee fan. So I think that Tennessee, I don't think you're ever going to count Tennessee out in one of these games, especially against these three teams, because their offense is so good. But the bad thing is I can never, I can't even say that I'm fairly sure they're going to beat Kentucky because their defense, I mean, Kentucky's, you know, they could make that Towns kid look like freaking Joe Namath back there.
We'd like to let you do that. I mean, the good news for Kentucky this year is at least there'll be a quarterback back there as opposed to a wide receiver.
Yeah, it might not be a good thing for Tennessee. For you guys, y'all did pretty good with the receiver back there.
Yeah. I'd like to see last year's offense against your UT's this year's defense. We might actually have scored a couple touchdowns.
They for sure would have. Yeah, I mean, they will this year, too. I mean, this is with they had that running back who was Little. I can't remember who it was.
Yes.
Raphael Little or something like that. I can't remember who they're – I mean, they would have – yes, they would have eaten them alive even with that wide receiver back there. And I'm telling you, Shane, they're going to score points against this defense. I don't care who you have back there.
And Kentucky can score points. I mean, as long as you can get some rhythm to that offense and can get a couple of third downs.
They're going to give up 60 points to Tennessee's offense too. So it's going to be an ugly game, Shane. We should watch it together.
Can we bring bourbon?
Absolutely. That's a necessity.
All right. That's a date. Anything else that's on your mind? I think we've beat these horses down.
No, I mean, Florida's got – I mean, just to go over the last two or three games, I mean, Florida's got a Louisiana Lafayette team they shouldn't struggle with. Who's a decent Sun Belt team, but they shouldn't struggle with them. South Carolina's got Arkansas at home. I'm still going to – I mean, I think that you never know what you're going to get with Arkansas, but I think you're probably going to get a little less than – I don't think they're going to be able to handle South Carolina, so I think that South Carolina wins that game. In the last game, we've got Ole Miss at home against Arkansas or Vanderbilt. What's neat about this game is one of those two teams is going to become bowl eligible, and that's a big statement for Franklin or a big statement for Freeze.
I'm going to go back and say that you're wrong. Arkansas is awful. I thought that they were going to make a turn and start to improve. They lost to Ole Miss, and you're talking about Ole Miss being a chance to be bowl eligible here. It's a much improved Ole Miss program, but you look at the talent on the field for Arkansas, there should have been no reason they lost that game last week.
I don't disagree. I just look at them and whenever I mean they lost four in a row and they're able to go beat an Auburn team. I don't know. I just think that I keep looking and thinking they still got Tyler Wilson. That was his name, Tyler Wilson back there.
Yes.
And they've still got, you know, they got Kobe Hamilton at receiver, and they've got Johnson and Davis. I mean, they've still got those offensive weapons, and I would not be surprised if they could pull off an upset like that. But on the other hand, yes, you're right. They're not a good football team.
Yeah, and I mean, we're talking about a South Carolina program that's got embarrassed a couple times, but they're still pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're definitely good. And I'm sure, you know, without Lattimore, that's going to hurt. But Connor Shaw's been a good quarterback. I mean, good grief. Who saw this coming? You know, the last few years we've been talking about how we all thought South Carolina was going to be improved because you've got Garcia, who's got all that talent as a passer and was at South Carolina for about 14 years, it seemed like. And then this kid comes out of nowhere, and Shaw, who has been, I mean, look how much better he's been for that program than Garcia. I mean, he has been the difference. South Carolina has turned the corner because they've gotten solid quarterback play. It's just instead of Garcia doing it last year, they had Shaw do it last year, and they've got Shaw doing it again this year.
Yeah, no, you're right. And then, you know, we'll go back to the one you did mention, and that's the Ole Miss Vanderbilt game. Both programs playing for to be bowl eligible. And who would have? Well, I think we both would have given Vanderbilt a shot to be bowl eligible, but I don't think anybody gave Ole Miss a shot at that.
No, I mean, I didn't think that Ole Miss would get there. I mean, they've got a couple wins. I mean, nobody at the beginning of the season would have thought they beat Auburn. Nobody thought they beat Arkansas. Here's the problem: is they've got to win this week. If they don't, you know, LSU and Mississippi State to end the season, I think they're going to be left, you know, kind of knocking on the door and not get there. Whereas Vanderbilt, I mean, let me pull up their schedule real quick. Vanderbilt, I know they've got Tennessee left, and who do they have?
Wake Forest.
I mean, Vanderbilt could win all three of these games. They'd be looking at 8-4. They'd build a statue of Franklin if he did that.
But you know, you look at that, and what bowl game would that send them to?
Eight and four. I mean, they would be. Let me do some. This is going to be bad radio, but let me kind of do some math. They would. You know, they wouldn't. Florida would be in a bowl ahead of them. Georgia would be in a bowl ahead of them. South Carolina would be in a bowl ahead of them. Alabama, A&M, LSU, and Mississippi State. So they're probably looking. Even then, they're still going to be looking at
Music best City.
Case. Well, I think they might. It's the seventh best team. They might would be in a. They could get into a Chick-fil-A bowl. Maybe they could get into a Gator Bowl. I mean, they'd still be right there. It depends. If you get two teams in the BCS, and then you've got the Sugar Bowl, and then you've got the Cotton Bowl, or not the Sugar, sorry, not the Sugar Bowl. Then you've got the two BCS games. You've got the Cotton Bowl, the Capital One Bowl, the Outback Bowl, the Gator Bowl, and then the next one would probably be the
Chick-fil-A,
and then you've got the Music City, and then you've got the, you know, Birmingham Bowl or whatever that is, and the Memphis, the Liberty Bowl. So, yeah, I mean, the bad thing is when it comes down to it, if you're going to ask me if you're the Chick-fil-A Bowl, do you take a Mississippi State team or you take a Vanderbilt team? I take a Mississippi State team over them any second. I think they'll travel better, and I think they, you know, they're going to be looking at you're looking at probably the same type of record. And yeah, you might be looking at, you know, Vanderbilt, you know, not leaving the state of Tennessee again.
And that's what's sad is they could realistically, like you said, be rattle off three more wins, be 8-4, and still be no better off than if they were 6-6.
Yeah, you're right.
But you know, that's a testament to Vanderbilt and their fans and the way they've traveled in the past.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, talking about the Music City Bowl, my hope is that, you know, I'd love for Tennessee to win three more games, and if they're not going to be able to play in like a New Year's Day Bowl, like the Gator Bowl or something like that, I would probably prefer the Music City Bowl. It's just another chance for me to get to watch them. So.
Yeah, in your backyard.
And that's a good – the Music City Bowl is a good bowl game. You're playing the ACC. It's going to be a fairly good team. It's a good night game. I don't know. It's fun. It's been fun. I had a great time against North Carolina.
Yeah, they do a great job there at the Music City Bowl. It can get a little cold, but it's still a great game, great matchups.
Last time that Tennessee was in it, I somehow got the hookup and got to go to a suite, so – I didn't really care how cold it was. I was drinking a Miller Lite in a heated suite, so I was fine.
But you have to admit, it's a different way to watch football in a suite.
It's hard to go back outside, you know. Now, when Tennessee was doing really good and I was really cheering a lot, then yeah, I like to be a part of the crowd. But man, as I get older, I love watching those games in the suite. It's just so nice. I mean, just to have catered food, your own bathroom, and a refrigerator cold beer. I can't imagine too much of a better situation.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I enjoy sitting in a suite to watch a football game myself, but you do miss some of the atmosphere of being out there in the with the other fans, even though you're right there and you don't you can actually remove the glass and be open air. It's still a different feel to watch a ball game in the suite.
I'll take it any day of the week. If you tell me, you give me the option, I'm going to pick a suite 9 out of 10 times.
Well, there you go, sweet boy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's about it. Anything you want to throw out there for the open mic and we'll wrap this thing up?
Yeah, I'll throw a couple things out there. I want to congratulate myself. You know, I finally jumped on the I've been an iPad user for a few years now, but finally decided to go out and get the iPhone. I was waiting for the iPhone 5 to come out and finally had it in stock. The only negative to it is iPhone 5, here it is. You know, it's 4G. I'm excited about it. I go to the Titans game, and not only do I get 4G at the Titans game, I couldn't even get 3G at the Titans game. I got no service whatsoever, and it just pissed me off. It was horrible. The Titans were getting drilled. I couldn't check my fantasy score. It was the worst. So my first experience with iPhone 5, I was a little disappointed in the coverage.
Now, what are you on Sprint?
I'm on Sprint. Sprint sucks, man. Sprint just is horrible.
Are you on? Does Sprint have LTE here in Nashville?
Yeah, I mean that's the thing is when I know that when you go to a stadium and if anybody's still listening to this, if you ever wonder why you don't get service at a stadium, it's because everybody's on the same broadband and everybody's on 3G and it clogs up the network and it goes that much slower. But if you have 4G or your LTE, there's not as many people that are on that, and that's why it's so much. First of all, it's faster anyway, but there's just not as many people on there. So my last Sprint phone, I had an Android, and I could set it to be 4G, and if it could pick up a signal, it would. On the iPhone, it's like intuitive, and if there is a signal, it'll automatically pick it up. It just never picked it up.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is I thought there was a place that you go in to enable LTE because there's 4G and then there's LTE on the 5.
Well, I don't know the difference between the two, but I didn't have either one of them.
We won't waste time here, but I think there's a setting to make sure you have LTE turned on.
I did. I mean, I went to one that said that, but I couldn't get it to work. I mean, I'm pretty dumb at some of this stuff, but I thought I did what I was supposed to do. But.
Now, let me ask you, since probably nobody's listening, it's just me and you anyways right now.
Just talking.
We're just talking. Doesn't the Titans have Wi-Fi now?
No, they don't. They've got, like, I searched for the Wi-Fi, and there's a media Wi-Fi, and there's LP Field, but the LP Field one's locked. So,
well, see, they were supposed to have free Wi-Fi this year because they went through when they did that upgrade. They put Wi-Fi antennas all over that stadium to enable that. I guess there was some sort of glitch to get that rolled out like they wanted to, but they were supposed to have Wi-Fi for that very reason.
Yeah, I've heard that, and I'll tell you this. I mean, I see that it's supposed to have that. But it wasn't in there, and if it has, they don't advertise it. There's a few things about the Titans game, and just to kind of get off topic a little bit, but I go there and I'm telling you, all these stadiums talk about the fan experience and getting more people out there, and with fantasy football and all the other games, they're losing out on so many people that just would rather stay home and watch all the games, and you know, with like the Red Zone channel, they sit there and talk about we're going to show you the Red Zone channel. I don't know why every time there's a stop and play, they should just have the Red Zone on. Why would they not do that? I don't get why they wouldn't show that and show me the games or show another game. You know, I know you can't do it during the plays, but every TV commercial and every and halftime in between the quarters and injury time, just throw the Red Zone on there, and I'm telling you, you'd have just a ton of people that were excited about it.
I don't disagree, and I don't know if there's some sort of regulations with the NFL. You know, they're crazy about that stuff. I don't know. I personally, and if I don't go to the suite for an NFL game, I'd rather just sit at home.
I hear you. That's a better way to do it because especially in the suite at a Titans game or during NFL, you'll have all the other. You can have a TV with the other games on. You can get the scores and throw that in with your own personal bathroom and a warm suite and free beer.
So for me, the experience isn't worth what season tickets cost for the Titans. But
you're right. I'd rather throw my money together like all my buddies. I mean, I don't ever miss a Titans game, but the more I think about it, I'd rather just throw that money in and just, you know, throw a big tailgate party at like my house or something, invite a bunch of people over and just watch football and have a few cold beers. You know, other than that, I would rather do that, but it's hard to convince my brother and some of the other buddies that I go with to drop it like that.
Well, if Titans start winning again, maybe you'll change your tune a little bit. Who knows?
I mean, you can say what you want, and I don't have any other team that I root for, but it's a lot easier to go to games, and it's a lot easier to get excited for them and yell when they're winning.
It is.
You know, they say that's a fair weather fan, but I won't ever drop my team. Unless you know I have a kid or something that plays for another one, or I move. And if I lived in Colorado, I'm sure I'd go to Broncos games and cheer for them. But when they were losing, it's just hard to really get up for it. Especially it's bad the way they lost that game this weekend. It's just it's pretty tough to be a fan. It's tough times to be a Titans and Vols fan in Kentucky football.
It is. It's that just the triangle we have there between the three cities. It's just it's the Bermuda Triangle of football.
I know it sucks right now, but we'll get it back.
We will. Well, I don't know if Kentucky ever had it back. So
no, we'll get it back with at least Tennessee. I would, and that's the thing is, I'll tell you where my allegiance lies. I would trade, you know, five Titans wins for one Vols win. So.
And now, what are you hearing for coach over there in Knoxville? Let's face it,
John Gruden.
Okay, realistically, who are you hearing?
I don't know, Shane. I'm still of the. I'm gonna let it play out. I mean, if they lose, if they don't get bowl eligible, then I think it's gonna be tough for them to keep him at all. But I just don't. I'm not on board with getting rid of him unless you've got a big name coach that's gonna come over. I would say you wait one more year. He's done an okay job recruiting. He's definitely built the talent back up. I would say you wait one more year when the buyout's much lower, and if he doesn't get it done and make an improvement, it's just unless you're going to get a big-name coach. It was so hard to get somebody the last time. I just don't know that you're going to have that many people just jumping on the job. So I'd rather wait for
all right.
A big name.
Let me ask you this. Let's play devil's advocate because I've not heard too many people talk about, hey, let's keep Dooley around. Are there going to be wholesale changes again this year with coordinators if that's the case?
Well, the offensive coordinator is not going to go anywhere. I don't see how you would get rid of him. I mean, he's with what he's done. So Chaney's fine. I like most of the coaches. God, it's just so hard for me because I hate where the defense is, but I know changing from a 4-3 to a 3-4, you're going to have some hiccups. I can't say that I'm happy with what Sal Sunseri's done, but I wouldn't be upset with a change, but part of me is just like, golly, when you're hiring a defensive coordinator and you only give him eight games, that's just not a lot of time to get a change made. So I would think if Dooley's still there, then I don't think they would make any changes.
And also Sunseri, he came in late too, did he not? Was he one of the ones that came in after?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of in the middle of recruiting, I think. You know, they when Wilcox and Peter Sermon left to go to Washington, I mean, it was tough. So I don't know, Shane. I would once again, if you can go out and get and everybody laughs, but if you can get a John Gruden or you can get I really think if you could get like a Charlie Strong to come, I would be fine with a Charlie Strong. I think that's a great name. If you could get that, I mean, he's proven so much more than Dooley has.
Chip Kelly.
Yeah, if you can get Chip Kelly to come for some reason. If you can get a big name, then do it. If not, though, then I say I don't want to see Tennessee go out and hire another $2 million a year coach. If they're going to make a change, they need to hire a $5 million a year coach. They need to hire somebody that's done it before. Or bring back Fulmer. I'd be happy with Fulmer back.
Yeah, I don't think any of those are going to be options for you. So you're going to sit here and be frustrated all year long.
I don't know. From what I hear, Tennessee don't have any money. So, but on the other hand, they've got, you know, Jimmy Haslam's got just billions of dollars in pilot money, so I'm sure he could pony up some cash for him if they needed it.
Well,
bring over Saban. We'll take Saban too.
Well, he's not afraid to, you know, coach different areas of the SEC. He's done LSU, Alabama.
He used to get into the East.
East, yeah, there you go. Let him go up against the old ball coach every year.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, guys, we've completely took over the airways here and made this a Drew and Shane conversation, so we hope you enjoyed it. If you didn't, you probably weren't listening this far into this podcast anyways. But if you are, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week, and with that, we're going to call this podcast done.
That was a cool